Oh gosh. Eric?
Hello, friends. Those back pages here from 2040, coming back from the future. I am future Eric. How are you, Ty? Thanks for having me on the show today.
It is my honor to bring you on the show from the future. You've aged very well, Eric.
Thank you. Thank you. Mike was nice enough to let me borrow his office. And so I am here in 2022. Things have changed a lot.
Where did you put Mike?
He is in the other room. He could not see me. We could not cross the streams of the space-time continuum.
Okay. Well, could you go get Mike for me real quick?
Why? I want to tell you about the future and what happens.
Okay. Well, if I'll play this game with you. 2040. Tell me what's happening. I want to know hobby things only. I don't care about anything else. Tell me what's happening in 2040.
You don't want to know that Tom Brady played quarterback till the age of 56. Fanatics went bankrupt in 2030, and Mike Trout bought the entire Topps brand and changed it to Trouts instead of Topps. Tag Grading won the Slab Wars and is now the only grading company in 2040 is Tag Grading.
Oh gosh, I'm getting out of the hobby right now.
Okay, I can't do this anymore. It's so hot in this thing. Right? Come on, I look like Eric from the future or Gandalf. I don't know which one.
Yeah, either one. That's a very good costume, man. That was good. Right,
hang on. I'm going to do this.
We all know how you remove mask. It's not like you don't have to. Well, okay, so sorry for the odd intro. So tell me one of those is most realistic.
Eric went back into the future. It is Halloween. Happy Halloween to you, sir.
Happy Halloween. Yeah, you told me to wear a costume, but surprisingly, I didn't have any good costumes with all the kids I have running around here. Yeah. You think I would?
I could see you being like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle or something.
That's what I grew up being.
Yeah.
What was your favorite Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle?
Donatello.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know why. It's probably the only one you could think of, right?
Right. Michelangelo, yeah. Donatello.
Raphael,
and there's a fourth one.
Raphael was the red. Michelangelo was the blue, right? Donatello was the purple.
There's a yellow.
Is there yellow or is there a green?
Green, maybe. I don't know.
Okay, yeah, we got to stop.
Yeah, we're just looking like idiots, but that's pretty par for the course.
welcome to On the Fly with Mike and Ty. 3 minutes in, we are excited to talk about some hobby news. What are you dealing with these days, man? You and I were on the road last week. We're back. We've been texting each other about all kinds of like hobby things that have been popping up, from Shohei Ohtani redemptions to World Series. What are you thinking about most right now, hobby related?
I'm thinking about the Dallas show that's coming up, and I am a little sick. So if I don't sound normal, I'm a little under the weather. But Dallas show this weekend, I'm excited to see what that generates in terms of pulse of the hobby. Like, what's the hobby's identity right now? I mean, there's so many shows. The Chantilly show I went to, you know, basically a week and a half ago now. The Dallas show, I think, will be an interesting litmus test for the hobby.
Don't you think? I feel like we keep saying that, though. Like, this will tell us the pulse of the hobby. This show. What do you think it's going to tell you that you don't already know?
Maybe it'll just confirm a trend. I think there's just lower excitement about the hobby overall right now.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
I do. Well, one good barometer that we have is, you know, because of Chasing Cardboard, we have a funnel of people that want to sell collections to us. And there's really good collections that come across, and there's some that aren't that good. But the question that I always ask people when they reach out, and this is, I mean, no less than 10 a week, why are you selling? First question I ask. And why do you think most people are selling right now?
They need money. That might be kind of the number one reason. Or they feel like it's dead. It's over.
Yeah. Basically, the question, the answer that I've been getting back most of the time, funny enough, is that I want to get out of the hobby while I can. While I can is the response that kind of is like, oh, that's what people are thinking. Like they got in or they saw the rapid rise and now they're like, oh crap, I want to escape while I can. That's a concerning response to me if that's the kind of the current narrative in people's minds. And it's playing out in show, right?
Yeah, but there's always a foundation of the hobby of people, I think. And then you have the people that came in over the last few years that were money driven, not collecting driven. The foundational people aren't leaving. They're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah.
I just think there'll be a larger percentage now. When you used to go to a show, it'll be interesting when I go to Dallas, is it going to be a bunch of, which I think it will be, guys trying to sell, right? But how many of that, what percentage of people are that? It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. So do you think you'll get that pulse by talking to dealers or is it something you look at when you see kind of folks entering the booths and things like that? You can just tell.
All of the above, right? I mean, I'm going to try to talk to more dealers this time than I probably ever have before because I'm curious about their opinion and are they having a good show? You know, because I'll be there Friday, at least Friday and Saturday. So excited to talk to those people. And you can always tell the people. And I think trade nights are getting worse too. You know, how hot they were a couple of years ago and now it's kind of over. It's like, oh, that was a cool thing. And not that people don't go to them, but.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because I do feel like collectors in general, like guys like you, you don't necessarily get excited about trade nights. That goes in your collection stays in your collection. So to get a trade night fueled with energy, you need people that aren't typical collectors. You need people that are willing to part with stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I like going to trade nights just to see if I can't pick up some things that I haven't seen on the show floor.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not there to trade. Although trade night ends up being a lot of cash deals and guys buying other guys out and stuff like that happens more and more on trade nights. Like fire sale, everything's for sale. I just don't think we're just seeing kind of the same old, and you're right. What is that going to tell us that we don't already know? I think you're actually correct.
You seem surprised by that.
No. I'm just, cause I was thinking about, will it tell us anything new or will it tell us more of what we already know? And I think it's more of what we already know.
Yeah.
And that the hobby's in a downturn, the economy's in a downturn. We've got an election coming up and interest rates go. I mean, there's just so many pressures on the market and you've got all the uncertainty of fanatics. Like you're creating a perfect storm of people wanting to get out while they can, because we don't know what Fanatics is going to do and exactly. Right.
Yep.
I mean, so the hobby's kind of finding an identity, which is something you and I talked about. What do you think the hobby's identity is now?
The hobby's identity now. That's a good question. I don't think the hobby has an identity right now. I think that's the problem, right? There's just a lot of loose footing right now that people can't stand on. Everything that people tend to stand on is kind of just collapsing beneath them. And until that settles, the dust settles, I don't know if people can really understand where we're at with stuff. Because to your point about going to the show this weekend and you talk to dealers, you see people selling. I think people all understand that. And we all agree on that. But the question is, we don't know what the response is. Like, so you go on Saturday and you figure out, okay, holy crap, there's a lot more sellers than I thought from, you know, typical people selling their stuff. How do you respond to that? Is it, okay, now's the time to buy or is now the time to sell? I think that to me tells me we don't really know where we're at, because if you as a collector who've seen this for 25 years are still trying to figure out where we're at, okay, that's a problem.
that it's definitely a problem. Not, I mean, I look for opportunities to buy stuff that I couldn't buy that I was priced out of 2 years ago. But I also, as a collector, go, man, should I just wait 6 months and everything will be even cheaper? That's the conundrum a guy like me is in. It's not do I buy, it's do I buy now or do I wait more? Right?
Yeah.
I do think it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Yeah. Well, so this is a much deeper question, but when you say it's going to get worse, do you think that's specifically related to the state of the hobby or to the state of the economy? What would be driving things lower?
You can't say both. I think it's state of the economy, but if Fanatics doesn't come out in the next year or so, 6 months to a year, and really start laying out some plans of what they are going to do, people aren't going to wait around and hope it works out. They're going to just be like, no, I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, but what do you want? What do you want Fanatics to say? We're going all over the place right now, 'cause we've been really wrestling with this and what the response is, but what do you want Fanatics to tell us?
I want us to tell us what brands they're keeping, what brands they're getting rid of, what they're going to do in terms of pricing. You know, none of that has been disclosed. There's a lot more things that I think I would love to hear people down below say what they want Fanatic. What do they want to hear from Fanatics? Because I bet all of us have a different answer to that. You know, I bet there are a lot of answers that people could give that would be incredibly reasonable. Here's what I want to see from Fanatics. Maybe it's distribution methods. Maybe it's, you know, if you're a local card shop, it's like, okay, what does that mean for me really? Right?
Yeah.
There's just different answers. I'd love to hear what people think. What are your answers? What would you like to see from Fanatics in the next year?
Clarity on distribution is a big one. And I think that's a big one because, you know, you and I talked about it. I think you mentioned it on the last episode that I wasn't on. A lot of card shops are closing right now. I've talked to a few different distributors, and I mean, no less than 5 to 10% of their client base is closing up shop right now. And the economy affects that, but I think also just these shops need direction, man. They need to know what they can plan for. They need to know how to build their business. You know, we spent a couple of days with Collectible Kings PJ, and you know, he's a very thoughtful businessman. And even he's like, we just need a little clarity so I know how to plan the next 6 months. That type of stuff is important. Like, and if you keep keeping things gray for everybody, it's just not fair. It's just not fair. So I think that is extremely important. I have a bold prediction.
Go for it.
I don't think Panini gets acquired by Fanatics.
Okay. What do you think happens with Panini? They just die on the vine?
I think they go their own certain way, and we see Topps products as the primary products for the core sports, outside of hockey, of course. And I think if it was going to happen, it would have already happened.
Yeah, I think I kept thinking, how is Panini and Topps going to coexist under one brand? You don't need both, really. Right?
Right.
Prism and Chrome? No.
Right.
I mean, it's the same technology, essentially. I think there are some interesting ideas that Panini does that if they're gone, then Fanatics can just incorporate into their Topps brands, whether it's Unusual Parallels or, they're going to have all the licenses, so it won't matter. But they don't have a trademark on Zebra, you know, blah, blah, blah. You can make that yourself. That's not a trademarkable thing.
Yeah. What I could see happening is Fanatics acquires the rights to a couple of the brand names like National Treasures or Flawless, things that aren't easily integrated into the Topps portfolio. And then Fanatics rolls over with Topps as the standard, you know, manufacturer and brand name. And they use that as a way to kind of say, hey, we're trying to remove the fluff from the hobby. And we're going to re-energize the hobby, remove the prisms, remove the selects, and everything that we got now is going to be in the top brand to see if they can shake things up a little bit. Because, I mean, you know, they're looking at it. They're looking at retail shelves right now, and they're seeing, I mean, prism basketballs being discounted on Walmart shelves, for crying out loud. Like, we're going back 4 years now to kind of the lulls in the hobby again, and Fanatics has got to be thinking, oh, shoot, we got to shake things up.
Yeah, you know they're seeing all of the sales numbers, right? And that's got to just scare the bejeez out of them.
Mm-hmm.
I would think it would scare me if I was owning, if I owned Fanatics, I'd be like, yikes.
Yeah.
But that's interesting take on Topps not buying, or I mean, Fanatics not buying Panini. Because you're right, it should have already happened. In fact, a lot of us had thought it was going to happen at the industry summit. And then right after, you know, just nothing. It's crickets about that.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I guess I don't see a lot of the value now. The longer you go and the longer the hobby's interest wanes, I mean, the Panini's going to have to give away their brands at a certain point. It's just like, you know, like you, I don't know who was stingy. Like, was it Panini or was it Fanatics just being uberly aggressive to acquire them at the last 3 months? But something didn't work out, and that tells me that it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, there's just so much uncertainty, and nobody likes that. Collectors don't like it. Flippers don't. You know, no matter which part of the hobby you're involved in, distributors, shop owners. Nobody likes the uncertainty of it. And so that makes uncertainty creates a sense of, whoa, hold on, pump the brakes. Let's just wait.
Yeah. Hesitation.
Yeah. And I think if the more you see that, it makes prices drop even further because there's no demand. Demand has gone. No, we're good for a little bit. We'll wait. And that creates a spiral downward. We sound like prophets of doom again, and we're not. It's just reality.
Yeah. I mean, look, I put a video out on Chasing Cardboard last week where I had the best month in my sales history. Like, absolutely crushed it. Put in a lot more work than usual, but there is still opportunity in the hobby. There's no doubt about that. You and I both agree on that. This is the target is continuously moving. And you have to be very kind of agile in this hobby and not get stuck on one sort of strategy. Which is why I'm really curious if you go to the show on this weekend and you've really sensed that it is a lot of doom and gloom, what is the proper response that you will have and that we should have? Is that wait it out more? I mean, at what point do you see stabilization and what do you look for in stabilization? Dealers having record numbers again? Like, what's...
No, I don't think we're going back to where we were during the pandemic anytime soon. That was a confluence of circumstances that were unique to that time. I think you're going to see more collectors overall than there. Let's go 3 years ago to now. I think there's going to be more collectors than there were then because of not everybody that came in during the pandemic is going to leave. There are going to be some people that stick around and start going, man, this is great. Things are even cheaper than they were when I got back in. So yay, right? Stabilization happens when you start seeing regular people have assets stabilize. When you see the financial markets stabilize and people have this wealth effect that's not everything's just going to crap, then you'll see an overall stabilization in the hobby. To think that those two don't matter and don't affect each other is, I think, ignorance. It definitely does. I'm buying less as I watch my 401k turn into a 201k. and so, but I'm not going anywhere. I can be patient. I think if people have patience, they're going to be really happy in 6 months to a year that they had some patience and waited.
That's your time horizon is 6 months to a year.
Yeah.
And things start to come back around.
Yeah. because I think we will have more clarity from Fanatics by then, you know, because they're getting closer and closer. We'll have it. We'll be into a new baseball season. The Phillies will be world champs. By the way, do you think the Astros or Phillies win the World Series? Just total side note.
Phillies.
Yeah. Yep. I'd like to see the Phillies win. That'd be a good story.
Yep.
I would like to see Dusty Baker get a World Series. That'd be, but I can't like the Astros. I'm a Rangers.
It's just impossible to like the Astros, unfortunately.
True. So, 6 months to a year. What's your time horizon?
Two to three years.
You think that long?
I do. Yeah, I do. I think it's just one of those longer cycles. I think it's a 4 to 5 year cycle. You know, we're a year and a half into this downward kind of restabilizing. You know, another big question is how much of this has to do with just the lack of crazy performances in sports right now. I mean, you had some of that in baseball. You had Judge, right? You had Otani having another good year, but some of the big boys got hurt and some of the big names did not carry the sport. You're seeing that in football right now. I mean, I saw 2 weeks ago that up through like week six, it was the lowest scoring 6 weeks in NFL history combined. So like there are not a lot of the Herberts aren't doing that well. Burrow's mediocre. And then in basketball, you know, there's a pendulum shifting, like swinging the other way where the guys like LeBron and Durant and the Russells, they're just not performing that well. LeBron's performing, but he can't seem to get anybody on his bandwagon. Yeah, his team's terrible. So how much of that is just like sports has just been mediocrity?
Well, this is, you know, the next few months are always kind of a lull in the hobby, you know, till spring training again. And we didn't see, to your point, some major rookie. I mean, Julio Rodriguez had a cool all-star, you know, moment, but he didn't really perform that great in the second half of the season. So you didn't have this giant rookie class that really blew the doors off, right? So that will, and there's no rookie quarterbacks that are killing it or rookies in the NBA. Rookies drive interest in current product, period, paragraph. And if you don't have that, you're not going to have a lot of excitement.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
I do. And it's kind of an odd time because the last 2 or 3 years, you had some good rookies, right? You think even back to basketball where you had the Ja Morants and you had even Doncic in 18, 19. Because the wave of the hobby it spiked so high, so many people got into the really good cards at such high prices. And so for me to go say, hey, you know what? I'm interested in Ja Morant. I want to go grab his 1920 stuff. Well, it's hard to find good deals in that because the market peaked at that point and people aren't willing to sell low. And so there's this odd kind of like, well, I would get into the next rookie class, but nobody's performed. So I had to go and I can't afford to get to the 1920, 18, 19 stuff. So it's just a weird, like those prices have to come back to reality for a lot of people to get back in to those guys.
But doesn't that create opportunity? I mean, I'm thinking about Brady, Rodgers, Mahomes, guys whose stuff was priced over the moon. Don't you think that stuff's going to come back down and provide if I would love to have a Rodgers rookie, a Brady rookie in my collection just to have one. Don't you think those get more reasonable where that's possible?
They have gotten a lot more reasonable. Yeah. Those have dropped a lot. Yeah. Rodgers and Brady didn't exactly help their hobby values this year.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who won the Sunday night game last night? I didn't end up finishing.
The Bills won. They handled the Packers.
Josh Allen is so good.
He is.
If I was to buy a current quarterback that hasn't won a Super Bowl, I would pick Josh Allen.
Yeah.
He is so good. I watched him do things I watched the first half of that game and it's crazy.
Yeah.
Just how good he was. But I wouldn't, I'd like to buy Mahomes just because I think he's going to be really good for a long time. Brady's obviously the GOAT. Rodgers is one of the greatest of all time, you know. So
yeah,
picking those key cards up. And now I don't want to go start a collection of those guys, but I'd like to buy a Topps Chrome rookie of Rodgers or a Bowman rookie of Brady, you know, those have probably, because they were graded so heavily, there's so many of them now out there, and those pop counts will only continue to go up as grading has become. Now people are going to start sending in that stuff that they've been hoarding. Oh, now's the time, right? So you're going to see pop counts continue to blow up on all those rookie cards, which is good. Just more supply equals lower prices.
Agreed. I do feel like this year was a good reminder for everyone that went kind of heavy on football, on why football cards have historically never been as price stable as other sports. Poor performances, lots of injuries this year. I mean, shoot, on my fantasy team, I've never had to go to the waiver wire so much than this year. It's just like, that's the same way with the collecting, right? You're like, dang it, this guy's hurt now. Hip injury, Jamar Chase, you're like, oh.
So does that mean as that wanes, that trend towards modern, ultra-modern, that, again, vintage just gets more steam? Again, we've been talking, this is, I feel like we're just repeating the same things we've talked about umpteen times before. But to me, if you want to collect and you're like, okay, enough of this new stuff, I'm going to start going after key cards, Montana rookies and Jerry Rice and Walter Payton. And like, why not just buy those things?
Yeah, we talk about this all the time. And I still feel like it is the same argument, because I can ask young collectors about vintage, and it's in this era, it takes a lot of work to go learn about Mickey Mantle or go learn about, you know, Campanella, you know, like even to go learn about Wilt Chamberlain, right? You have to, I mean, you can do it, but you don't get to watch them every night and see highlights on Instagram. And like for them to relate, it's just so much work that I don't think, and collectors like you will eventually, you'll buy the cards you need of those guys and you won't need more. So I don't see how vintage is going to explode by any stretch.
That makes sense. Yeah. I mean, you see the occasional younger person who likes vintage, but few and far between, no question.
Yeah.
Or they might pick up some random vintage just because, but they're not going, I like this, I want to do this.
Yeah. Because
of all the reasons that someone should like all of it.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Okay. This is way too gloomy.
It is Halloween. We're supposed to have a Halloween party here tonight. And I'm like, I need to go get some rest because I'm
not feeling it.
Not feeling good, but I'll be
sorry to hear that. What are you dressing up as tonight?
Oh, I don't. I just hang out. We just sit out on the driveway and do a driveway party. Julie makes all these great soups and stuff, and we have a bunch of people over. And just our neighborhood is one of those neighborhoods that everybody comes to because it's convenient and easy. And so we get a lot of people from other neighborhoods that come to ours to trick or treat.
Nice.
So I turned into a madhouse, and I love seeing all the different costumes and all the different people, and people watch and just park it, have fun. What about you? What do y'all do normally?
We go up to one of the trunk or treats at one of the churches that here in the city. It's a good one. So all the kids are dressing up tonight.
What's your favorite costume of your kids?
Kai is wearing, him and some buddies are dressing up as Men in Black. So they all have suits and ties and glasses and hats. And they I can't wait to see them standing out there tonight. I'll take a good picture for you to see. That's next week.
Cool. You got anything else coming out on Breaker Culture or anything?
On Bench Clear, still been working on that new grading video. So hopefully I'll have that out this week. We'll see. That's a big one.
I think I took off last week for Golden Age. I'm hoping to get back to it this week. And I have an interview scheduled for a special episode that's going to air next week for sure. So
cool.
It's been hard. You know, I don't feel as motivated to do content as I used to.
Really?
Yeah, you just kind of go through these different peaks and valleys.
What do you think that is?
We have a lot going on. I mean, we just traveled to West Virginia and felt like we were doing content for three straight days, literally, and we were, you know.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. And I'll be doing some stuff from the Dallas show this weekend. So I know I have that coming up.
Yeah.
To do content. So I don't think you should force content. I think it needs to be just when you feel like doing it.
Yeah, that for sure. When you're not doing it to support your family, you don't need to force anything, right? You're having fun.
Right. Amen. Agreed.
Cool, brother. Well, hope you feel better. Enjoy Halloween. Amen. Thanks everyone for watching till the end. If you are watching till the end.
We'll see ya.
All right. See ya.